Millennial Influence, my podcast, 021. All kids drink, right? From beautiful Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to this edition of my podcast, the place where parents can find help and answers about today's teenagers. Today, we're talking about teens and alcohol. All kids drink, right? Talking with your teen about drinking, the dangers, and consequences. Here's Darren and Katie now.
Okay, all kids drink. That's like saying all kids have blonde hair. We know they don't all do it, but for some reason we've decided in our society that just all kids are going to drink. There's just nothing you can do about it. What do you think about that, Katie? Because I'm not buying it.
I'm not either. And I just happen to have some statistics that actually prove that.
Really? How surprising. So what are those?
One of the ones that I found that I thought was fascinating and one that I really want our parents to hear is about parents' influence on their teenagers drinking. This comes from the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University. And the statistic that they found is that teens whose parents think future drug use, alcohol use, is very likely are three times likelier to drink than teens whose parents say future drug use is not likely at all.
If you think your kid's going to be a dog, they're three times more likely to be a dog than somebody who doesn't think their kid's going to be a dog.
Right.
So if you think your kid's going to drink, they're going to drink. If you set an expectation that your kid's probably not going to drink, they're a lot less likely to drink. That makes complete sense.
Oh, I think that's something for us to really understand as parents, because we just assume that...
Let's go back to the title, All Kids Drink,
all
right?
Kids, right?
If you think all kids drink and you think your kid's going to be one of those kids who drinks, they're three times more likely to be a drinker.
Right. So the first thing we have to do is really change our mindset on that. Change your mindset to say, I'm going to believe that my kid can rise above that, that my kid can go against the majority, that they won't have to face the things that go along with alcohol. You need to believe that about your kid. And if you don't believe that about your kid, you need to think about that.
Now, what do you say though, Katie, to people who, because you know, everybody kind of has a different life philosophy on drinking and drinking and drunking and all that goes along with that. So what do you say to the person that says, well, I don't care if my kid drinks. I mean, what's the big deal if they drink? As long as they're doing it in my home, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, I have a lot to say on that. We're going to talk a lot about that. One of the things we're not going to do is tell you what the standard in your household should be. But we are going to give you the facts about that, that you need to be considering as you're talking with your kid about drinking. One of the other statistics that the same group found is that parents are the most important resource they have to prevent substance abuse. And in a survey they did in 2000, they said that half of the teenagers, and this is specifically talking about marijuana, but it said half of the teenagers who had not tried marijuana credited their parents with the decision.
Which I'm sure that'd be a very easy crossover to drinking or any kind of substance abuse.
I agree.
Do you agree with that? Okay.
I do. Now, that third thing that I wanted to bring up about that is that parents' drinking behavior and favorable attitudes about drinking have been positively associated with adolescents initiating and continuing drinking. So if you think it's okay to have a drink in the privacy of your own home, your kids are going to think it's okay to have a drink in the privacy of their own home. If you go out and party, your kids are going to think it's okay to party. If you have to unwind occasionally after work, your kids are going to think it's okay to unwind after school. And we are the example for them. A lot of times I think we can set, we
and
say,
that's not,
I'm,
just, that's not just our opinion. That's statistically
no, that's
proven.
Statistic. Yeah. I think a lot of times we look at it and we say, but I'm an adult and I can do this because I'm an adult and you're not yet. But our kids are going to example what we do, even though we're the adult. They're not going to think when I'm an adult, I'll do that.
So what you're saying is do as I say, not as I do, really just doesn't work.
It ain't working. It's not working.
Did it work?
It's not
okay.
Gonna work.
Parents that are listening, think about this. Did that work for you? Because I just need to tell you, it didn't work for me. And I really, you know, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. When my parents said, do as I say, not as I do, I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to do whatever you do. If you can do it, I can do it. Kids don't get that. And so even though you may think that as a grown up, it's okay for you to have beer in the house or, you know, a glass of wine with your dinner or whatever. And, you know, legally, at least legally speaking, it is okay. Mm-hmm. If you don't want your kids to drink, you can't. You have to make the choice to abstain from that stuff if you want your kids to abstain from that stuff until they're at a certain age.
These are sobering to me for us to think about that maybe our parents...
No pun intended.
Yeah. Oh, no pun intended. Exactly. It is a realization for us to think about that if we think it's okay to drink, our kids are going to think it's okay to drink. And if we're going to actually sit down and talk to our kids about their alcohol use, we need to think about our own alcohol use and how we've influenced them over time with that.
And, you know, regardless of your personal moral stand on this issue, the legal stand says your kids are not old enough to drink until they're 21. Mm-hmm. So what about that? I mean, you know, what do we say to you people who say, you know, well, I'm 15, I'm old enough, I can make that decision, I can hold my liquor, everybody's doing it, or, you know, I mean, what aren't there some statistics that show the difference between drinking at 15 and drinking at 21? Why has society said 21 is a reasonable age?
Okay. Well, we are going to get to that. But what I wanted to first initiate was that parents... you have an influence, whether it's a negative influence or a positive influence, and you need to be talking to your kid about alcohol and its consequences and the results of it and where it leads to as we go along with that. One of the things that we found also is that the average age that teenagers start to drink is 12 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very young.
Sixth grade.
Right. And I found that not just on the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse, but I found that on at least three or four other studies that the average age that they have their first drink is 12 and a half. So if your kid is a sixth grader, you haven't talked with them yet about alcohol, it's time to start. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely time to start, especially since the other statistic that we found from this same organization is that adolescents who begin drinking before the age of 15 are four times more likely to develop alcohol dependence than those who begin drinking at age 21, which addresses your question.
Yeah, which is why society says 21 is an age where you're smart enough to start doing that or not.
Right. So if your kid...
Four times more likely.
So if you have not talked or addressed this with your kid because you think they're way too young to talk about it, remember, you're the number one influence on preventing them from drinking. And
they're starting a lot earlier than you think they are.
Way early. Darren, another thing that I thought was very interesting is that a third of 6th through 9th graders obtain alcohol from their own homes. So if you want to prevent them from drinking that early, get the alcohol out of the house.
Yes. Don't give it to them.
Before they're tempted by it. they're getting it from your house. So as we talk about alcohol, I want you to give us a little bit of what you have seen as the dangers of alcohol, just from your experience with teenagers. What are some things that you've heard because of alcohol?
Well, you know, alcohol is a chemical way to basically help you release your inhibitions. And so, you know, students and adults do all kinds of crazy stuff when they're drinking that they would not normally do. I've seen kids come in who've been in brawls with their parents, you know, actual fist fights. I've had kids who go to juvenile because they, you know, broke into a store or something. I mean, we're talking about good kids, you know, kids that you would deem as kids who wouldn't be getting into trouble, but they get drunk and they just get stupid. And, you know, obviously there have been a million kids who've been hospitalized because they were driving while they were drinking or in a car with somebody who had been drinking, you know, girls who've vowed chastity until their marriage, who've lost their virginity, girls who've gotten pregnant, you know, people who've lost their best friends. It runs the gamut because, you know, alcohol makes you do things you would never do when you were sober.
These are things, do you think these are the kind of things a parent needs to talk to their teenager about?
When you're talking about consequences with your kid, yes. I mean, you need to talk about the natural consequences of what happens when you have a chemical altering your brain, because that's what alcohol is and that's what it does. It alters your ability to reason. And so, you know, you need to talk with them about, listen, when you're drunk, you do things that you would never otherwise do. And it doesn't matter if you're falling down sloppy drunk or just a little tipsy, you make decisions that you would not normally make. And some of those could be blank, blank, blank. blank, 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 and fill in the blank for them because your kids aren't thinking about the blanks.
Well, some of the things that we also found when we were looking up statistics, and this is for students against driving, they say that individuals who begin drinking before the age of 15 are four times more likely to become alcohol dependent, which we broached that already. The prevalence of lifetime alcohol abuse is greatest for those who began drinking at age 14, which we already said 12 was the average age for kids. They also said that of teenagers between 15 to 17 reporting having had sex. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Of teenagers between the ages of 15 and 17, 24% reported that because of their substance abuse or alcohol or whatever, they had done more sexually than they had planned. 24% of them did more than they had planned.
Because you release your inhibitions when you're drunk.
Mm-hmm. Teenage girls who are heavy drinkers are five times more likely than non-drinkers to engage in sexual intercourse.
Wow.
So if you, and most of that sex it says all through here is unprotected sex, so they're more likely to become pregnant, of course, if they're doing this without any
or
kind of contracted
disease or whatever.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, that came from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So this actually came from a government study that was done. These are things that we don't want our kids to be involved in this. And if we're the greatest influence on their life and we're the ones who can make the biggest difference in the way that they conduct themselves with alcohol, and we want them to avoid these consequences. Mm-hmm. We don't want them getting pregnant. We don't want them experiencing car accidents and being
and
involved
life
in risky altering, behavior.
And life-altering issues that are avoidable. You know, most of those things are avoidable. They are enhanced when you're drinking. And so what that would say is that they're de-enhanced or whatever the word would be for that when you're not drinking. So, you know, abstinence in this issue is a really good policy, not to mention the fact that in, I think, every state but one, it is completely illegal for your child to drink before the age of 21. So regardless of the moral issues or the ramifications or the consequences, it's illegal. And we don't say, well, you know what? My kid's just going to be a shoplifter. He just is. He's going to be a shoplifter, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah,
just
I might as well help him steal the first one.
Yeah, I might as well go set him up a little, you know, portico in Walmart, you know, mm-hmm. or my kid's just going to be a speeder. There's nothing I can do about it. They're just going to run kids down in the school zone. That's just who they are. They're teenagers. They're all going to do it. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, we say, my kid's just going to be a drinker, totally illegal, lifelong consequences, but nothing I can do about it. That's bunk.
I'd rather them do it here in my house than anywhere else. You have to be really careful about these attitudes because you promote that with that attitude. The very last thing I wanted to share, and this also comes from the Department of Health and Human Services, says that a child's risk of serious alcohol-related problems is decreased by 70% if drinking is delayed until age 21.
Wow.
70%. So please, please, we beg you, talk to your kids about alcohol, the dangers of it, the consequences of it. You don't have to have statistics in front of you unless you want to.
Listen,
but this is something
you
need to address often.
And one of the things you need to tell your kid is the three leading causes of death for teenagers are car accidents, suicide, and homicide. And every one of those lists alcohol as the primary influence in most of those episodes. And so there are grave consequences beyond the stuff that we've danced around about here today. There are life-ending consequences when your student starts to drink. And so you have to be an influence that helps your kid rise above that because it is around them. I mean, the fact of the matter is there are a lot of kids who drink. Not all of them, but a lot. And it's an influence for your student. And so you want to be an active, intentional part of influencing your student in the other direction.
Yeah. Give them the confidence to go against what other people are doing by telling them you believe they can.
Parents are the most powerful influence a teenager has. But here at Millennial Influence, we recognize they aren't the only ones. If you are a student pastor or someone who works with teenagers, stop by www.millennialinfluence.com www.minfluence.com and let us know how we can help assist you as you help students. Thanks for joining us today at My Podcast. Music provided by the Judd Cossum Band. For Darren and Katie Sutton and the staff at Millennial Influence, I'm Melinda Kitzmiller, helping you impact generations for generations.